Hill Planning and Zoning Commission. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Secretary, please take the roll call.
Okay. Joseph Summers?
Present.
Joshua Kobelik?
I am here.
John Poole?
John Poole?
Absent.
John, the Charging Secretary is present. Sarah Lundy, Chair,
present.
Is present. Wells Pike, Vice Chair?
Present.
Present. John Estelle?
Present.
Is present. Isaac Tate? Absent. And Chuck Longton?
Present.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 present.
Okay, we have quorum. For additions or changes to the agenda, I'd like to propose an executive session after item 5 regarding ongoing litigation. Anyone like to make that motion?
So moved.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
First and seconded by Commissioners Desjardins and Pike. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Moving on, I'll ask staff, are there any other additions or amendments to the agenda?
No.
Okay. Next, we'll move on to approval of the minutes from the May 28th, 2024 regular meeting. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Second.
First and seconded by Commissioners Kobelik and Summers. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining?
Abstain.
Abstain.
Okay, thank you very much. The meeting minutes have passed. At this time, we will remove our, well, we'll have a vote first to remove ourselves for an executive session, after which we will return with the rest of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
First and seconded by Commissioners Desjardins and Pike. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. 6:04, we are entering executive session.
6:04.
Madam Chair, if we could just have a vote to come out of executive session, and also to note that Commissioners Tate and Poole also attended the executive session.
You were always here.
No, you were there. I was present.
Thank you.
Okay, what time became?
All right. It is 6:53 p.m. We have exited executive session. No votes were taken at the time. So now we will move on. I'd just like to say thank you to the members of the public. I know that that was a long session. Generally, they're not that long, so I appreciate your patience. We'll now open it up for remarks from the public not relating to items on the agenda. We ask that if you come forward, you state your name and address, and please try and stick to about 3 minutes for comments. Would anyone like to come forward and make a comment? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to item 7A. Public hearing, this is 24 sub 2 Black Ash Estates, 970 Old Colchester Road, parcel ID 037-001-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. The owner applicant is Patchogue Capital LLC for a proposed 13 lot re-subdivision. This was submitted back in March and received in April. A public hearing was opened at our last meeting on May 28th and continued to this evening. The public hearing must close by July 2nd, and a decision is required 65 days from the close of the public hearing. Matt, what should we know about this?
I believe Attorney Heller is present. I don't know if he wanted to make any statements relative to status.
For the record, Harry Heller, 736 Route 32, Uncasville, representing the applicant Patchogue Capital LLC. In response to all of the staff and consulting agency review comments, we submitted revised plans and revised calculations for consideration. Yesterday, after 4 o'clock, we received additional comments from the town engineer that need to be addressed, so we're not prepared to move forward this evening. We've submitted a letter into the record requesting a extension to July 24th, which will put you 2 days beyond your next meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Attorney Heller. So with that information, I'll entertain a motion to continue this item until our next meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. First and seconded by Commissioners Longton and Summers. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? The motion passes. Next is item 7B, which is 24ZC3, Cricket's Corner, 879 Chesterfield Road and 1665 Route 85. Parcel ID is 005-015-00C/012-007-000. The owner is Cricket's Corner LLC. The applicant is Roger L. Phillips and Rachel M. Bellardo for a proposed zone change. The application was submitted May 9th. The date of receipt was May 28th. Public hearing tonight we'll be opening a public hearing if we have a vote, and then a decision will be required 65 days from the close of the public hearing. It was continued until next month, sir.
Is there going to be any further discussion tonight?
No, sir.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt that.
That's all right. Thank you.
We'll see you next month.
Thank you. All right. So with that, I will entertain a motion to open the public hearing for Cricket's Corner.
So moved.
I'll second that.
First and seconded by Commissioners Longton and Desjardins. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? All right, the public hearing is now open. Matt, what should we know about this application?
I think the way to proceed would be to have Attorney Heller do his presentation, and then staff can go over their report if that's amenable to the applicant.
Okay.
For the record, again, Harry Heller, I'm an attorney with an office at 736 Route 32 in Uncasville, and I'm representing the applicants, Cricket's Corner LLC and Rachel Bellardo. For purposes of jurisdiction, your regulations indicate that either a property owner in the town of Montville or a resident of the town of Montville may apply for a change of zoning district classification. So the property that is before you for consideration this evening is listed as lots 53 and 54 on the zone change map that was filed with the application. Lot 53 is owned by Cricket's Corner LLC, which is a limited liability company, not resident of the town of Montville, but a property owner in your town, so it has jurisdiction to file the application. Lot 54 was created by segregation in the United States Bankruptcy Court from a front piece that is in the commercial zoning district. And that is now under the jurisdiction of Bonnie Mangan, who is a United States trustee in the bankruptcy court. I have communicated with Attorney Mangan concerning the zone change request for reasons that I'll get into in my presentation, but she has requested that the property which is in her trusteeship be considered for change of zoning district classification to C-2 because the property needs to be liquidated in the bankruptcy proceeding and it will improve the value of the property. For purposes of jurisdiction to bring the application with respect to that parcel, Rachel Bellardo, who is a paralegal in my office and is a resident of Montville with an address of 235 Moxley Road in Uncasville, has joined in the application, which gives the commission jurisdiction to consider the application. So the application is a proposal to change the zoning district classification of two adjoining parcels containing about 29 acres in the aggregate from WRP 160 to C-2, which is the commercial zoning district. For purposes of identification, the property that is in red, and the colors coincide with your zoning map, the property in red is currently zoned C-2. That zone is located both on the southwesterly and northeasterly sides of Hartford Road or Route 85. The property south of the intersection with Grassy Hill Road and Chesterfield Road is in the C-1 zoning district, which is the pink. And the light yellow is R-40. Green is owned by the Connecticut Light and Power Company. That's a transmission line easement. And the aqua blue is in the WRP 160 zoning district. So we are proposing an extension in a northeasterly direction of the existing C2 commercial zone to what we chose as a logical limit for the zone, which is the CLNP transmission line easement, which for purposes of comprehensive plan consideration represents a logical divide between two potentially opposing zones. So that was the rationale for the manner in which we formulated the zone change request, and it was the reason why we contacted Attorney Mangan in order to see whether or not she was interested in having the property under her jurisdiction considered for C2 zoning classification. In order to grant a zone change, there are five criteria that the commission must consider. First and foremost, the zone change must be in accordance with the comprehensive plan. And the comprehensive plan is embodied in your zoning regulations and your zoning map. And in this instance, this is particularly important. Also, in consideration of the manner in which zoning has developed in the town in the area in question. And we'll get into that in a minute. The second consideration is, by statute, you are required to consider your plan of conservation and development and must make a finding in your action either of consistency or lack of consistency with the recommendations contained in your plan of conservation and development. Number three, the applicant must demonstrate that there is a benefit to the applicant in the proposal that is before you for consideration. And fourth, there must be a concomitant determination that the zone change is not only in the best interests of the applicant, but is in the best interests of the community as a whole. And finally, the fifth consideration is you must make a determination that the proposal does not constitute spot zoning under Connecticut law, because spot zoning is expressly prohibited by law. So going back to the first consideration, the comprehensive plan, which as I indicated is embodied in the zoning regulations and the zoning map as they have developed over time. And Montville went through a comprehensive rezoning in 1995 and 1997, largely in response to the fact that the Mohegan tribe had gained federal recognition, and there was concern in the town in general, and particularly in the land use office, that zoning in town needed to be amended in order to address potential impacts that may result as a result of that fundamental change of land use in the town. And as I indicated, it was done in two tranches. The first tranche was done in 1995, where the commission rezoned property east of 395, and then in 1997, when property west of 395 was rezoned. And in 1997, and I'll enter this into the record, but this is the draft zoning map that was presented to the commission in 1997 for consideration when the westerly side of the town was rezoned. And what is important on this map is that about three-quarters of the parcel that is owned by Cricket's Corner LLC was designated in the rezoning for the C2 zoning district classification. And that was approved by the commission, and I'll enter this into the record as an exhibit.
Thank you.
And that zone change, together with everything else that was presented for consideration, was approved by your commission. The next exhibit is the 2000 zoning map, and this was the approved zoning map created by amendment on June 23, 1998, as revised through March 11, 2000. And again, on this map, you can see that about three-quarters of the Cricket's Corner parcel was in the C2 zoning district classification. Move forward to 2003. Again, on the 2003 zoning map of the town of Montville, the same thing. About three-quarters of the parcel is in the C2 zoning district classification. The next map that I have access to is the 2010 zoning map of the town of Montville. In the 2010 zoning map, this area is no longer designated as C2, but that parcel is entirely in the WRP 160 zoning district. Because one of the considerations that your commission must make in acting on a zone change application is conformance with the comprehensive plan as the comprehensive plan has evolved, we researched the records of your commission to determine why or what the rationale was for changing that classification in a relatively short period of time from C2 to WRP 160. We found no action by this commission, no public hearing, no vote, no nothing, changing the zoning district classification of that parcel. We brought this to the attention of your land use staff. I believe Meredith also researched the records of your commission and could find no action changing the zoning district classification of the parcel from C2 to WRP 160. It is our position that with at least what is shown on the 2003 zoning map, that the current zoning map is in error and that that portion of the Cricket's Corner property remains in the C2 zoning district classification to this date. Now, that does not negate the fact that we are applying for a change of zoning district classification for the whole property, as well as the property to the north owned by the trustee in bankruptcy. Because we feel that changing the zoning district classification and extending the zoning district to the north is a logical extension of the commercial zoning district classification to a natural divide, which is the transmission lines between the commercial district and the remaining water resources protection district. We also submit to the commission that the placement of those properties in the WRP 160 zoning district classification was an error. The WRP 160 zoning district is a zoning district that primarily allows one dwelling house per 160,000 square feet of land area, which is about 3.4 acres. And if you look at the WRP 160 zones in town, they are primarily located within the watershed areas of the Stony Brook Reservoir and the New London Reservoir system, the Bogue Brook Reservoir, Davis Pond, and Lake Canomic. The two properties which are the subject of this zone change are not located in that drainage divide. These properties both slope back to Route 85 and drain eventually to Latimer Brook, so they are not in the New London watershed area. So we believe that the application is consistent with the comprehensive plan as embodied by the zoning map and the zoning regulations as they've developed. Route 82 is one of your two principal north-south or northeast-southwest corridors in the town of Montville that have high traffic counts, that present unique economic development initiatives for the town of Montville that can be developed, and I can assure you will be developed by Cricket's Corner, at least with respect to the parcel owned by Cricket. And I should point out that Cricket also owns the 5-acre frontage piece along Route 85, which is also in the C2 zoning district classification currently. So the other thing that the zone change does is provides some depth to the commercial zone in a northeasterly direction. So we don't just have frontage lots along Route 85 that are in the commercial zoning district. Good planning for development dictates that you should try to get depth to your zones so you don't end up with strip development along the highway and don't take advantage of land that's available and amenable to development at interior depth off of the highway. The zone change that we're proposing to the commission provides another potential area of 30 acres, which in the future can be developed and allow development to occur in depth rather than just frontage along Route 85. It provides better access management opportunities and just better overall planning for development for the benefit of the town. The next consideration is whether or not the application is consistent with the plan of conservation and development. And one thing about a plan of conservation and development is, if you look in it hard enough, there's always something for everyone in it. And you have a lengthy staff report that will be presented into the record this evening, and it discusses the fact that the proposal is not consistent with the future land use plan of the town, which shows that area designated for development at a density of 1 unit per 2 acres or less. It also indicates that the future land use plan map is not the be-all and the end-all for a determination of consistency, that you have to look at the document as a holistic document to determine consistency. And when you look at the plan of conservation and development, you will see that it encourages economic development. Economic development is good for the town as a whole in areas that can accommodate it. And certainly we have the infrastructure, the roadway infrastructure with Route 85, which is a state-owned and maintained arterial highway with a significant traffic count that presents opportunities that can support economic development. It does not have water and sewer, so that is obviously going to eliminate some uses that might otherwise be able to occur in the zone. But if you look at what has happened along the Route 85 corridor down to the Waterford Town Line, both in the light industrial zoning district, that district has become largely developed at this time, and in the commercial two zoning district, our clients, Roger and Linda Phillips, who are the principals of Cricket's Corner LLC, have created one of the state's premier tourist destinations on the southwesterly side of Route 85. Their goal in seeking this zone change and acquiring the land on the northeasterly side of the road is to expand their presence in the Chesterfield area. If this zone change is granted, the next thing that the commission will be seeing, and I've discussed this with staff already, is an application for site plan approval for a daycare facility on the parcel owned by Cricket's for which zone change is requested at this time. And that is a use which is permitted by site plan in the C2 zoning district. During the tourism season, the Phillips entities on the southwesterly side of Route 85 have over 100 employees, and they have a need for proximate daycare during their operating hours, and that facility, while not limited to their employees, is intended to supply support services for their tourism-related ventures. You may recall a couple of years ago, we received approval for workforce housing to support their transient workers. That has been developed on the south side of Grassy Hill Road. So again, the Phillips Enterprise has a significant presence in the Chesterfield area, and they've made a very significant economic commitment to this town. The third consideration is whether or not the proposal benefits the town of Montville as well as the applicant. And again, when you review the staff report, and I'm not going to waste time reading it into the record, but I think it does an excellent job of highlighting the benefits to the town of Montville that can occur as a result of the proposed zone change. And what I would like to enter into the record, and I will enter these maps before I'm finished. When you consider what benefits an enterprise like this has to the town of Montville, one of the considerations is what does it do for ratables? So I've entered into the record a listing of the various taxes paid by the Phillips Enterprises in the town of Montville. Those are 2022 list taxes. They pay $120,000 in taxes to the town of Montville on an annual basis. They also provide employment opportunities for over 100 employees on a full and part-time basis. So in addition to the physical benefits that are highlighted in the staff report to the town of Montville as a whole, there is a very significant economic benefit and employment benefit, which benefits the town as a whole and all of the residents of the town. And the final consideration is whether or not the application constitutes spot zoning. And in order to have spot zoning, Connecticut law indicates that there are two requirements. Number one, the area proposed for zoning must be small. And I would submit that 30 acres of land being rezoned is not small under the case law as it is developed in the state of Connecticut. And the second consideration is that the rezoning must be out of context with the comprehensive plan. And for the reasons that I presented in my presentation with respect to the comprehensive plan and how this proposal is consistent with that, it is an expansion of an existing existing commercial zoning district, a portion of which we submit is already zoned commercial based on the presentation that I made this evening. It is consistent with the comprehensive plan, so therefore does not meet either of the criteria to constitute spot zoning. So that concludes my presentation. I'll be glad to address any comments either staff or the commission may have.
Thank you, Attorney Heller. What questions do we have?
So I'm a little curious. If I heard you correctly, there's no documentation that this is a WRP-160 anywhere in the planning department. Did I understand that correctly?
That is my position.
So why are we making a change to something that there's no documentation that allegedly is WRP-160?
Two reasons. First of all, the footprint that we are proposing for rezoning is a little bit larger than what is shown on this map. And it includes the bankruptcy property to the north. So
I understand that, but it's not WRP-160. I'm trying to establish that. You said there's no evidence of this in the town planning department that this is WRP-160.
Part of it true.
This little piece here.
Just a little piece there.
That piece, yeah.
Yes.
Certainly the area, there's portions of both the Cricket's Corner property as well as the bankruptcy trustee's property is all in WRP-160. There's no dispute about that.
Okay, so 54 is all
54
WRP.
Is all WRP-160.
53 is a mix.
That's my position based on my research.
Other questions? Commissioner Poole?
Are there any other areas along Route 85 that are that depth already, similarly depth?
Well, certainly if you look at the zone to the on the other side of the road, yeah, that has a depth of about 3,500 feet. If you look at the light industrial zone, which is up where the Wide World of Indoor Sports and NASCAR is, that has depth all the way back to Butlertown Road.
Yeah.
So again, depth creates opportunities for better planning, better design.
Thank you. Any other questions for Attorney Heller? Commissioner Longton?
So your contention is that the WR-160 zoning change was an error on the map.
On the map?
Yeah.
My contention is that in the 2010 map, when it showed up as WRP-160, that was an error as to that area, yes.
And there is nothing in the planning department to be found which authorized that change.
I didn't look in the records of the planning department. I looked in the minutes of your commission. I'll let staff answer that question as to what's in the planning department.
Okay. Commissioner Tate.
So this map shows here, this dark green, is this all wetlands?
That is from the town's GIS system.
Space.
We have, in conjunction with the site plan that we're preparing for the daycare center for this property, we've had actual field delineation done by a soil scientist. I can't say that it's exactly what you're looking at, but it's close.
Okay. Thank you, Attorney.
And one more thing. With that
sure.
being said, in the staff report, you are going to see a recommendation that if the zone change is granted, that it be granted not as we've applied, but rather, well, let's get that.
Okay.
that it be granted along a line which is 50 feet westerly of the wetland limit. I'm just going to point out to the commission that since we've had GIS capability in town, the history of the commission and staff has been that zone lines follow property lines and we don't have properties in mixed zoning districts. That would deviate from that policy. With that being said, the applicants have no position on that recommendation because that 50 feet is in the upland review area and it's not going to impact anything we plan to do anyways. So that's a policy decision the commission will need to make.
Okay. Thank you. Matt, Meredith, what should we know about this?
Staff prepared a fairly lengthy memo. I am certainly not going to read it. Thank God for that. I know there are perhaps people in the public that want to speak, so I'm just going to try to hit the highlights for you, and we'll keep things moving along. So first off, we would concur with the applicant's counsel that it appears that there was a GIS error some time ago. We could not find in your meeting minutes any record at all of any application to amend that portion of the subject property of the RP. So I think that's fairly well settled.
To be clear, that's Cricket's Corner we're talking about.
On the Cricket's Corner parcel, a portion of the
Cricket's
Corner.
Right, just want to make sure I'm clear on that. Okay, thank you.
Right, exactly. I give those tasks to Meredith, and she does a great job with it, so I trust her findings. On page 2 of the memo, we just heard from the applicant's counsel with regards to this idea of setting the zone boundary relative to the wetlands. I think that just, I understand that might be different from what you've done before. It would be fairly easy to do since they have the wetlands mapped, actually flagged and mapped. So I think that would be easy enough for us to do in GIS. I just think it may provide an additional layer of protection perhaps for the abutters to the east that'll stay in the WRPD. That's that residential piece that fronts on on Chesterfield Road. So that was kind of the logic.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
As far as what Attorney Heller was stating about how traditionally zoning is done for an entire parcel rather than mixed zoning, is that written anywhere in the regulations or is that just practice?
No, it's a fairly standard protocol where, you know, zoning boundaries usually follow a center line of a street, a property line, some kind of a physical attribute like the center line of a water course.
Okay.
Things like that. So there are some general approaches, protocols that you would use. This is not that different in the sense that you're going off of a flagged wetland boundary. So there is an actual physical, determination in the field, you know, so to speak. It's not, we wouldn't use the GIS, I don't think, you know, for something like this. But since they had that flagging available, we could establish it, you know, that way. So I just wanted to bring that up. Obviously, you see the language in here about this is a legislative action. It's something that, you know, is a policy matter for the commission to determine. The courts give you a lot of discretion in terms of how you want to approach these issues as opposed to administrative matters like site plan approvals and that kind of a thing. So just to kind of make that point for you, in general, what I did was I took advantage of this opportunity to provide in this memo maybe a lot more information than you would normally have. But I wanted to use this, since we don't see a lot of rezone applications, I wanted to use this as an opportunity for you to kind of, you know, have this information. And a lot of this would be applicable to really any other legislative action that you would take, whether it's a zone map or a reg amendment kind of a thing. On page 3, I just listed some of the, you know, attributes and criteria, things that you should think about and consider. I did focus on the delta. I call it the delta. So it's the change, really, that's what you're really looking at. You're looking at, are there any material differences that would be created by the rezone in terms of these different attributes and these different kind of factors. And it varies. It varies by topic, you know, depending upon. So, for instance, for some, it really doesn't matter whether it's WRP or it's the C2. Because the way that you, for instance, like the character of the land is what it is, regardless of the zone, mm-hmm. because of the types of uses that are allowed in the two zones, there's really no distinction in terms of the potential impacts in that regard, whether it's WRP or whether it's C2. In some other cases, there might be a significant difference. And your job is to kind of look at that holistically and then to kind of weigh and balance all those different considerations and come to some consensus in terms of, you know, the action that you have to take. So that's on page 4. I did make some references to section 11.2.1. You probably read those. There's some, I think, kind of strange language, at least in my opinion, strange. It allows activities involving the sale of goods or services carried out for profit. And that's the language. So at some future time, we may want to talk about that language. I did note some concerns about it. I don't think it raises any issues in terms of this particular application, but that's something you might want to look at as a possible future kind of an action. And then I go into the analysis a little bit on pages 5 and 6, just to kind of the comparative a little bit to give you a sense of at least what our opinion was. So at the end of the day, we didn't receive any real negative staff comments from anyone that I could see. The Public Works Director did have a concern about Chesterfield and the frontage on Chesterfield. That's what we think is one of the major positives of this, is that we can more or less kind of put that issue to bed if they go forward with the application in the way that they've, you know, they're presenting it. Our understanding is that the access will be taken off the 85 frontage to the parcels in the back, so we'll be able to kind of deal with a situation that I know there's icing there in the winter. There's some storm drainage concerns and other kinds of things. So this presents, I think, a pretty significant opportunity to deal with that one. We did include, you know, draft motions and findings if you want to get to that point. But we do obviously want to give the opportunity to the public to speak their piece.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we move on to the public hearing portion, are there any questions for Matt or staff?
I do have a question. So on page 4, 1, 2, 3, fourth paragraph, it's implied that doggy daycare will be put in there also?
There were two uses in the preliminary, and I do want to thank Attorney Heller and his client for being willing to meet with us on a preliminary basis.
Yeah.
It's something that we encourage every applicant to do. We try to hold those conversations in confidence for obvious reasons, but obviously now we're in the public hearing phase, so it's all fair game at this point. So there were two uses. There was the daycare that was mentioned, and then there was the second potential use of this, you know, kind of doggy daycare, whatever, however that is defined.
It would be a kennel, wouldn't it?
Talk in the memo about.
That's why I'm asking.
So we allow kennels. I think it was in the WRP.
Right.
So I didn't have any particular issues or concerns about that use in terms of the change. Obviously, if it's already allowed in the WRP, we're changing it to C2, really no big deal. That's one of those kinds of like net neutral kind of changes, at least in that regard. So
it'll be what's different at the corner, 161 and 85?
161.
I believe that's a daycare?
Doggy daycare.
That's a doggy daycare?
Yeah, I don't know what the permit history is for that particular facility. I know that, having grown up in the area and driven by there, it's changed, mm-hmm. you know, over time, recently, you know, quite a bit, mm-hmm. I think. But I don't know the specifics of that particular use in that location.
I have one question.
Commissioner Tate.
Just to go back to what you had said on page 5 about the length of the zone on Chesterfield. So now they're planning on not having an ingress egress on that road. It would be on Route 85.
Well, I guess the way that I would answer that is that this is a zone map amendment. So in Connecticut, we're not allowed to condition zone map amendments, unfortunately, in my opinion. I mean, a lot of states do allow that to be done, and it's done fairly successfully. Here in Connecticut, we can't do that. So to a degree, we have to, you know, trust people to do what they say they're going to do. I certainly trust, you know, the Phillips family. I think they've done a fantastic job, frankly, out there, watch it evolve over a period of many years. And so they have said, and I think we're basically in agreement, that there really wouldn't be any access on that Chesterfield.
Okay.
And we would use this as the opportunity to hopefully preclude access to Chesterfield in that location.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Summers?
You know, you know, I'm a believer in, you know, having the zone boundaries as the property lines, because working in other municipalities, we've had some parcels that were split, which created a lot of issues with trying to develop those parcels, whether it's crossing from one zone to the other or the size of the available parcel. But I would agree with, you know, aligning that with the wetlands boundary, since that can be a delineated item.
Okay, so now we'll move on to the public hearing portion of this application. As I mentioned in the previous public hearing, or in the public comment section, generally try and keep public comment to three minutes each, so that, you know, everyone has an opportunity to speak that would like to. I'm going to ask for those in favor of the application to come forward first, and then those opposed will have an opportunity to come forward. I will then ask again two times for those in favor, and then two times for those opposed. So alternating, it'll be in favor, opposed, in favor, opposed, in favor, opposed. That's fine. You can come up at either point. But again, if you'd like to come up and make a comment, please state your name and your address for the record, and please try and keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. So with that, if anyone would like to speak in favor of the application for a map amendment, please feel free to come forward. Okay, so if you couldn't hear that, there is a sheet at the podium, so if you do come forward to speak, please add your information there for our minutes.
Here we go. Leonard Bunnell, 5 Little John Drive. I'd like to speak in favor of the item 7B, the zone change. I want to remind everybody here, I'm sure everyone has seen the changes on Route 85, and Roger Phillips and Rachel have been primarily responsible for that change. They've attracted further development. They've been good to the town, and Attorney Heller has made a outstanding job in identifying why we should make the zone change. This is obviously is consistent with the plan of development by encouraging further development. I can't say enough about how much I appreciate Roger Phillips and Rachel on what they've done for the town, and I think that this is a positive thing, and it doesn't require a lot on our part. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Bunnell. Anyone else would like to speak in favor?
Good evening. My name is Jim Mealy. I'm an attorney from Cheshire, Connecticut. I represent Lorraine Mayer, who's the owner. Oh, my office is at 396 South Main Street. I represent Lorraine Mayer. She's the owner of 1621 Route 85. And I'm more of a neutral, standing up now. I had discussions with Attorney Heller. about this project. He informed me, consistent with what was said tonight, that the plan for the future use of this property is for daycare. It's going to be located in the northwest corner of the property, and most importantly, that access to that facility is going to be off of Route 85 over 1645 Route 85. That property is number 45 on the rezoning map, the zone change map. So based on those representations, my client is not opposed. He's in favor of this application. So thank you very much. Whose name do you want to put here, hers or mine?
Let's do both. Thank you, Attorney Mealy. Okay, so at this time, I'll ask for anyone opposed to the application to come forward and speak. You'll have another opportunity.
I'm Rich Cullen, owner of 1605 Route 85. I'm not pro or con here. I'm just want to be heard anyway. I am in favor of economic development if it's done correctly. I am concerned, which although Attorney Heller did an excellent job stating a lot of information, there's a lot of grandfathered properties to the east that could be affected by a C2 zone behind them. And I understand there's a delineation of the wetlands that's being proposed, stuff of that nature, but that's my concern, because there's a lot of people that live ahead of that area that isn't necessarily able to be accessed. There's another concern, a neighbor to, well, beyond this property, to the rear of it up on the hill, Andy's property, he has a right-of-way there for his power. So I don't know if that's going to affect any of this zoning change, because CLMP has a right-of-way to all of that power that comes in off Chesterfield Road. So there's a lot of different little nuances here that aren't on the other side of the road where the fire department is and where like the NASCAR and all that stuff, because it's all commercial. There's a lot of, not a lot, but I mean maybe six residences in that area that I think you guys should hyper focus on just to make sure that they're taken care of while they're there. I mean it's all C2 zone now, but they're all grandfathered to live there and maybe their family. I don't know how that goes. Alrighty.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else opposed to the application or neutral?
Hi, my name's Andrew Harry. I own the biggest portion of property next to this proposed zone change. And I would ask the board for their leniency on their 3-minute rule, as they allowed Mr. Heller more than 3 minutes. I have a lot of ground to cover, a lot of inconsistencies, and a lot of errors. So I just ask for your lenience on the 3 minutes. First of all, I'd like to tell you that my family has been on that property for 5 generations. We do not want a commercial entity in our backyard. Harry Heller leads you to believe that there's not a lot of wetlands on it. I tell you that Stony Brook runs right through it. Harry Heller leads you to believe that there's a C2 zoning error. That error he's talking about is tiny. He's asking for a zone change of basically 29 acres. Maybe it's 28. I don't know. I haven't done the research. At any rate, we the citizens of the town look to you to protect us. And none of the citizens that live adjacent to this property want to see the zone change. It's going to impact us by having a commercial entity in our backyard. Now, having said that, back way back when the town council ruled and made the C2 zone change, It was agreed by everybody, including the people that lived there, that yes, the Route 85 corridor should be commercial. I have no problem with Mr. Phillips having a commercial entity on Route 85. I do have a problem with him having a commercial entity in my backyard, which is the property behind it. Now, having said all that, Mr. Heller proposed to you that the boundary be the power lines. Well, half those power lines are on my property. So if you grant this zone change as it is, you will be granting me commercial property. I don't want it. Don't need it, don't want it. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Oh, there's one more thing. I don't know if you guys realize what Chesterfield is, but it was originally a Jewish settlement that were my ancestors, and everybody's forgot that. It's all gone. All gone. That's all.
Thank you very much. Okay, at this time, I will ask anyone in favor of the application to come forward.
Hi, I own the doggy daycare on 1567 Route 85.
Could you state your name for the record?
Rebecca Maurice.
Thank you.
I have some concerns. I don't know if you're aware of the traffic increase. So I have dogs drop off between 7 and 9. So there's a huge increase in traffic. I'm concerned the effect that putting a more strain in that area will have on my business. I've been in business in Montville for 13 years. So I have some concerns on that as far as accidents and the level of danger. We have a lot of accidents. Right on, particularly the 161, right at that light. When I put in my business, they would not allow me to move my driveway, so it's right at the intersection, so it creates a dangerous situation. So I guess I would like you to think about that when you're putting in another business that's going to bring in the same level of volume during the same times. Thank you.
Thank you. And just for the record, that was opposed to the application or neutral?
I think that I'd like someone to look into that aspect of it for safety.
Okay, thank you. So just as a reminder, I've asked those in favor twice. Those opposed once. So now we'll do those opposed to the application, please.
Hello, my name is Farrell Auckland. I'm a owner and resident at 846 Chesterfield Road. So I don't know that I'm opposed, but I think I'm neutral, but with some questions and points to make that echo some of what you've probably heard already. So one of my concerns is the access to Chesterfield Road, because I believe both properties. I haven't seen the proposed, if the zoning changes for the entire properties or not, but just looking at the two properties, both of them have access to Chesterfield Road. So if that becomes C2, even though promises are made it's not going to be developed, you'll be sandwiching more houses, residential houses, between C2 property and also the impact to the traffic up and down Chesterfield Road. Again, that road's in pretty rough shape with a lot of traffic that moves pretty quick up and down the road. So that would be one concern I would have. I guess the other one would be, again, it was a nice presentation by Attorney Heller, but I would respectfully disagree with him that Route 85 can support further business development. The intersection of 85 and 161 is a disaster, and then further up at Chesterfield Road, cars, when you're heading northbound, cars trying to make a left onto Grassy Hill Road, it's a nightmare. I drive 50 miles every day to get to and from work, and the last quarter mile to get home can take me a half hour, if not longer. I could park my car in front of the go-kart place and walk to my house faster than I can get home. So to argue or make a statement that Route 85 can support further development in that area, I think is not factual based on living that road every day for the last 23 years. So I think that's something the commission consider before changing a zone that would potentially encourage further development of the area. That's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, we're on the second call for those opposed to the application. Mostly a reminder to myself. Okay, final call for those in favor of the application. Hearing, oh, okay.
I'd like to say, just comment to that, Leonard Bunnell, 5 Little John Drive, Mayor of Town of Montville. Just keep in mind, in response to the congestion, that Route 85 is targeted for some improvements coming this summer, as I'm told, which should do a lot to alleviate some of the congestion. Yes, it's got a high volume of traffic. I don't think a daycare center is going to add to that volume in any negative degree.
Thank you, Mayor Bunnell. Hearing no other comments in favor of the application, I will ask for final comments opposed to the application.
Farrell Lachlan again. Just to add to that, I've been hearing they're going to make improvements to that area forever. It's a state road. Who knows when it's going to happen? It would be my view that you don't make a zoning change unless the infrastructure's there. And the infrastructure's not there, and I'm not a believer that it's going to happen this summer either. So I think it's a consideration to make down the road after the infrastructure is fully approved and underway. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Hearing no other comments, I will entertain a motion to close the public hearing portion.
So moved.
Okay. I have a first. I have two firsts.
I'll second that.
Okay. First by Commissioner Zlongton and seconded by Commissioner Desjardins. Any discussion?
Well, I think there were some good points made. I'm kind of curious about the power lines. Maybe Attorney Heller can address that. I don't know any logistics on power lines.
What would you like to know? Again, for the record, Harry Heller.
Mr. Harry said the power lines go through his property.
Excuse me, Chair. The hearing's closed, yes?
Yes.
No, they didn't vote.
We haven't voted.
This is a discussion
portion.
We're
doing discussion now.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mr. Harry made a comment about the power lines. I'm
yes.
curious, can you give us a little background on that? Power lines, ownership?
Well, CLNP, through the town of Montville, has both areas where they own the ground where the power lines are, and they have other areas where they have an easement, which gives them the right to maintain their lines, but they don't own the property. What I indicated in my presentation is that in formulating our proposal for change of zoning district classification, it was our opinion that good land use planning should have some logic to it. And if we're going to have a division line between a commercial zone and a low density residential zone, an area designated by power lines makes an excellent boundary. Now, all we're proposing to change the zoning district classification on are this piece and this piece. We're not proposing to change it on Mr. Harry's property. All I mentioned was that we picked this property because that appears to be a logical place to end the commercial zoning district. Once you get up beyond this, You then have Beckwith Road, and you have Fox Hollow. It's all residential up there. Mm-hmm. So this, to me, made a logical sense as to where the commercial zone should end.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Can I ask a question?
I'm sorry, the public hearing portion has been closed.
Okay.
Well, it's either closed or open.
This is commission discussion.
Right, yeah.
Any other discussion by the commission? Okay. All those in favor of closing the public hearing?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? The public hearing portion has been closed. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone that spoke this evening. All right, moving on to the next item on our agenda. This is old business, item 8A. This is 24, site 3, which is 1492 Hartford New London Turnpike, parcel ID 005-027-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. The owner applicant is Jeff Daniels for proposed processing, material storage, and equipment storage facility and associated site improvements. The application was submitted in April and received the same month, and a decision is required by the end of this month. Matt, what should we know about this application? Matt and Meredith, what should we know about this application?
Which application? I'm only kidding. okay. Had a site plan was approved by this commission back in, I think, 2018 for one of these parcels, okay? The other parcel is part of the subdivision that was approved for the industrial park. So the applicant lives on the parcel that's adjacent to the subdivision. He acquired the parcel that is in the subdivision. So he proceeded to... let's say implement his 2018 site plan approval. At the time, didn't post a bond, didn't get a zoning permit, et cetera, et cetera. A number of different zoning permits were issued for different activities on one or the other parcels over the years. The bottom line is things got very confusing in terms of the scope of work, duration of work. So compliance became next to impossible to track and to close out things, et cetera. So we met with the owner. We met with his engineer, Ellen Bartlett, who's here tonight, several weeks ago, I guess it was. And we came up with an idea to basically get the bond posted for the site plan that had been approved, get a zoning permit for that, implement that. The second part of that was to get a bona fide site plan approval for the use of the other property. So that's pretty much what you had before you tonight, which is the site plan for the second piece. They submitted the application. We reviewed it. It's still under review by the town's consulting engineer. There are some, I think, fairly minor drainage calculations and things that need to be resolved. We did have a conversation today with the applicant's engineer, and we'll talk more, I'm sure, with her about it. They've agreed to eliminate the proposed driveway access to Route 85. They've agreed to basically treat the two parcels independently in terms of how access is taken and how they operate. We did offer the option if Mr. Daniels, who again owns both properties, if he wanted to use and operate two properties as if they were one, so to speak, that he had that option, he could come in and get a site plan approval to do that, and we'd be obviously willing to help him with that. So what we'd like to do tonight, I think Ellen is here, she'll give whatever presentation that she wants to give. The idea that we had just to try to help Mr. Daniels out a little bit was potentially to have a special meeting in 2 weeks. We think that'll give us sufficient time to resolve the issues with the town engineer and to get back to you guys with a final set of plans and a kind of a clean motion, and we can have Mr. Daniels move forward with his project. So with that, I'll defer to Ellen.
Ms. Bartlett, while you're setting up, since a request for a special meeting has been requested, would you prefer to do your presentation now or then?
I'd just as soon do a presentation now, and at the next meeting we can continue it.
Okay.
Just a note for the record, and we discussed this today, to get to the special meeting, I think we would need an extension, a short extension,
yes,
for the 2 weeks, and that they'd be willing to grant that, to get that. So, thank you.
All right. My name is Ellen Bartlett. I'm with Green Site Design, and I'm representing the applicant owner, Jeff Daniels. The application is actually for 1492 Hartford New London Turnpike. It's the parcel outlined in blue. Mr. Daniels also owns property just to the west of this property. This site is also lot 19 of the original industrial subdivision that was done, which created Lombardi Business Park. It's never been really developed. It's been sold twice, but now we're here with an application for a site plan. This site has 500 feet of frontage on Route 85, but it also has an access easement out to Sagittello Industrial Drive. The site plan proposes a processing facility for earth materials such as gravel and loam, similar to what goes on across the street on Sagittello Industrial Drive for the Bove Brothers that operate what used to be Lombardi's. And except ours is on a much smaller scale. What we're proposing is definitely smaller than what they have going. The site has been used in the past for this same purpose. When lot 13 was developed, which is where the indoor track is, that facility, when that was built, there was a zoning permit given for this property to allow them to stockpile, process material, all as part of the construction of the track, the indoor track facility. The project is proposed to be built in two phases. Phase one would be construction of the access drive out to Sagittello Industrial Road. That would be the first thing that would be done. And during the process, since we don't want to take access right off of 85, there would be a temporary access drive off of the adjacent property, which is also owned by Jeff Daniels. This would allow him to get his trucks and equipment in without having to come in over 85, where there really is no entrance at this point. So once this access drive would be constructed, which would probably be about 60 days after the start of construction, the temporary access drive off of the adjacent property would be eliminated, and they would be two independent lots, not connected. So during phase one, they'd be completing the installation of the water quality basin, forebay. There'd be a landscape buffer put in the front of evergreens, just to allow a little privacy to the property. During phase one, there would be a number of concrete block material bins that are shown along the southerly side of the property. There'd be a processing area and several temporary stockpiles while they're processing the material before it gets moved to the storage bins. All right. Turn to phase two. Phase two would continue to maintain and operate the existing landscape buffer, the existing stormwater basin, and the existing forebay that will be built in phase one. So all of that will remain for the life of the facility. During phase two, a small office building would be installed on the site, just under 500 square feet. A septic system and a well would be installed to service this small building. At that point, additional storage bins would be put in, the concrete block storage bins, and some additional Connex boxes just for storing equipment and that they needed. Originally, phase two showed an access drive out onto 85, but after discussions with planning staff, we've eliminated that. And the plans, your plans show that, but I have new plans that have taken out that road completely, and that would be part of the new submission. We have on the plans, we've noted the hours of operation. They would be 7 to 5 Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 on Saturday, and then it wouldn't be open on Sundays or holidays. We have a conditional approval from UNCA's Health Department for the septic system and the well. We have final comments that we received today from the town's consulting engineer. Two minor issues. One was he asked for a guardrail to be installed along this access road because there is a stormwater basin right next to it, and we don't want any trucks ending up in there, so we've added that to the plan. And then he had two minor comments, clarifications on the drainage calcs, which I've already done, and I will submit to him tomorrow. So on behalf of my applicant, I was going to ask if the commission could approve this with the condition that we address all of the engineering comments. I'm not sure if that's possible, but no. I was asked to ask that question.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Bartlett.
Yep.
Okay. So, as I see it, we can move forward in two ways. We can either, yes, Commissioner Longton.
Can you tell me on your phase two plan what prompted you to remove the Route 85 access?
Planning staff suggested it. They thought one access out onto Sagittalia Industrial Drive was sufficient and to not have more curb cuts onto 85. The sight lines from Sagittalia Industrial Drive are really pretty good, and when it was installed at the time, the Route 85 was widened slightly to allow a car to bypass if somebody stopped making the turn, a left-hand turn into there. So it's not a bad approach just to have them use the same access onto 85 and not have an additional curb cut.
What about emergency vehicle access?
They could easily come in on the access road from Sagittalia Industrial Road. It's built 24 feet wide, just like any other access drive would be to a commercial site.
Okay.
Any other questions for Ms. Bartlett? Commissioner Koblock?
So you're eliminating the driveway off of Route 85?
Yes.
And just keeping the one on Sagittalia, okay. And the parcel with the house on it, is that all going to be cleaned up? And
the adjacent parcel is a separate parcel and is not part of this application.
Right, but there's material stockpiled there. I'm just wondering if that's going to be processed and stockpiled and moved into the to the processing area, and then
that
the
is
house
the
area
plan
is
to make this the processing area and keep that property clean.
Okay. Any other questions from Ms. Bartlett? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. So as I started to mention before, we could either grant the application as requested by the applicant with conditions, which generally we do not do, or we can move to a special meeting on, do you have the date readily available?
July 9 at 6 o'clock.
July 9th at 6 p.m.
And the extension would be granted, it's my understanding. In terms of the condition or the approach, the protocol, generally speaking, I don't have any particular concerns about approval with conditions. as long as those required changes on the plan are call them ministerial, call them minor, whatever you'd like. So, for instance, if the town engineer says, you know, provide a standard curb cut detail on sheet four, that's not a concern at all. If the design complies, it complies. If it's just a matter of showing the detail on sheet four, that's not any concern. What I am typically more concerned about are, and I know these drainage issues are probably minor in the grand scheme of things, approving plans with conditions that include outstanding analysis that the town's engineer needs to do, and he needs to come to some conclusions as to whether or not it's done right or acceptable or not. It's difficult for us to know. We're assuming that they'll be able to resolve those issues. But that's not a condition that I would typically want to endorse, and Ellen and I talked about that today, and that's how we arrived at the special meeting July 9, kind of an option, so we don't have to wait another month because, you know, as you know, you meet once a month, and sometimes that's in the heat of things for clients that 2 weeks matters, you know, to them. So
okay.
Just wanted to offer that.
Thank you. So given that information, would anyone like to make a motion to set a special meeting for July 9th at 6 p.m.?
So moved.
I'll second that.
Okay, first and seconded by Commissioners Longton and Desjardins. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the motion passes. We will set a special meeting for July 9th at 6 p.m. Thank you, Ms. Bartlett. It just occurred to me that Cricket's Corner was not on the agenda for discussion and decision. Should that be done this evening?
You can. It's a regular meeting, so you can add that by voice vote, motion second. That's perfectly fine. I don't know if that was an oversight on our part. There's my experience, usually you don't necessarily need to have that as an agenda item. You can just, if you close the hearing and you have deliberations, you can move right to a vote typically. But if you want to have it on the agenda, you can put it on the agenda.
It had been previously, which is why I skipped over it, but we can discuss offline what the best way to proceed is.
Sure. Yep.
So with that, I will make a motion to add to the agenda item 8. A vote on the application for 24ZC3 Cricket's Corner, 879 Chesterfield Road, and 1665 Route 85. Would anyone like to make the motion?
I'll make it.
Okay.
That doesn't fall under new business.
Well, yes. Okay. So I'll amend.
Be under new business. Yeah.
Commissioner Poole, would you be amenable to amending the motion?
Okay. Whatever you'd like.
We'll make it item 9A. Okay, so we've got a motion.
9C.
9C.
9C. Okay, we've got a motion.
Second.
Okay, first and seconded by Commissioners Poole and Summers. Any discussion?
Question for Mike. The town engineer concerns, do they fall into the category that give you pause or not?
I'm sorry, the question again?
The town engineering comments that you spoke of earlier, do they fall into the category that give you pause or not?
They would give me pause. Well, I guess I'll put it this way. The rezone application clearly gives the commission an opportunity during the site plan application process to, I think, put some closure on that Chesterfield access. Absent the rezone, do you still have that opportunity? Potentially, I suppose you could, at least in concept, but at least at this point, we know what we know. And we know what we've discussed with the applicant, and we, I think we have a good resolution, at least in terms of that part of it. The other, I think, would be a little bit more wide open in the future. I mean, someone could make application to use that frontage to access the parcel. They would have to go to wetlands. They'd have to design the drainage. They would have to, you know, satisfy any kind of site plan requirements and wetland requirements. So there'd be an application process. Could they be successful? Maybe, perhaps. As it stands right now, I don't have the map in front of me, but I think that's the frontage for the property. So they really don't, I mean, they could they go and try to get an easement to get to 85 or some other kind of arrangement? I guess so, maybe. But I think this is an opportunity to access it by 85 through the existing C2 parcel and, you know, do a consolidated development on the interior and, you know, deal with the site plan parts of that when we get the site plan application in.
Thank you.
So, welcome.
All right. Item 8B is 24 Site 4, 339 Oxbacha Dam Road, parcel ID 044-005-00B. The owner applicant is David Warzika for proposed 1,440 square foot garage and outdoor kitchen. It was submitted May 24th and received May 28th, and a decision is required by August 1st. Matt, what should we know about this application?
This is, I have to admit, a somewhat strange regulation. I did a three-car garage coming to a site plan approval for Planning and Zoning Commission is not something I'm used to. These are generally a zoning permit. There may be a reason behind it.
That might be the reason right there.
They're calling to let us know. That's okay. It's getting late. So, in any event, that's what it is. We've reviewed the site plan application. Meredith, I think, is prepared, you know, her memo. I don't know if she needs to go over anything, if you have any questions. It's fairly, you know, cut and dry, but a three-car garage nowadays is not unusual at all. And so I think I had mentioned previously that this is a regulation you may want to, you know, maybe take another look at some point and provide the owners with a little bit of, you know, relief. If you want to establish some standards or criteria, certainly could, but we can talk about that later. So I don't think we have any issues with the application at all.
Okay, nothing to add, Meredith?
No.
Okay. So
the applicant is here if you had any questions.
Sure. The applicant is welcome to come forward if you have anything to add. No pressure if you don't. Thank you very much. Any questions for Matt, Meredith, or Mr. Warzika?
So it's for storage on the upper end, according to staff comments, right? Upstairs is not a bathroom, nothing in that nature. Thank you.
Commissioner Summers, did you have a question?
No.
There is a suggested motion in the memo. Would anyone like to make it and read it into the record?
I'll read the motion.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve application 24 Site 4 to construct a 36 by 40 foot, 1,440 square foot, three-car garage as an accessory structure to the single-family residence in accordance with the Montville zoning regulations and the application, supporting documentation, and a plan set entitled Improvement Location Survey prepared for David M. Warzika, 339 Oxbacha Dam Road, Montville, Connecticut, prepared by Advanced Surveys, LLC, dated May 4th, 2024.
Okay, motion has been made by Commissioner Longton.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Summers. Any discussion? Okay, Mr. Secretary, could you do a roll call vote, please?
Sure. Joseph Summers?
Favor.
Joshua Kowalik?
In favor.
John Poole?
In favor.
John, charge myself, we'll be in favor for that. Okay. Chairperson Sarah Lundy?
I'll go last.
Okay, I'll go last. Okay.
Wells Pike?
Favor.
John Estelle?
In favor.
Isaac Tate?
In favor.
And Chuck Lund?
Favor.
And Chairperson?
In favor. Okay.
That's it. All
in favor. The motion passes. Thank you very much. Moving on to new business, we've got 24 Site 5, which is 303, 307, and 309 Route 32. 070-004-000 is the parcel ID. The owner applicant is Lombardi Gravel LLC for proposed site plan modifications. This was submitted June 10th and received June 25th, and a decision is required by August 29th, 24. What should we know about this application, Matt?
We had received revised plans. We're still under review. We need some additional information, and the applicant, I think, is consented to extending this to the July meeting. They provided a letter to us today to that effect, so we'll bring this back. If possible, we have discussed with them if we could put this on for the special meeting that you just set up. We would like to be able to do that if we can. Timing works out and we can get everything reviewed and resolved. We'd like to do that. So, okay. If not, we'll do it in the right meeting.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to table this, to continue this until our next meeting, whether it's a special meeting or a regular meeting.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Okay, first and seconded by Commissioners Longton and Pike. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the motion passes. This will be continued until our next meeting. Item 9B is Connecticut General Statute Section 824 recommendation regarding the acceptance of parcels 023-063-009 and 023-063-010 Carroll Drive in Montville, Connecticut. Matt, what would you like? Meredith, what would you like to tell us about this?
This was a, it's for the town to accept two portions of the cul-de-sac on Carroll Drive. This is the extension of Carroll Drive, which the subdivision was approved in 2015. On the map, it was approved January 12th of 2016. I have included a map, and it shows you the two parcels highlighted. It's just basically the ears of the cul-de-sac to close up that subdivision. There is a motion. Forward a favorable report if you so choose to. Questions about it, I can try to answer them.
Could you explain, the memo states that the proposal is to grant acceptance of two portions of the cul-de-sac. Acceptance to what?
So this was a new portion of road when the subdivision was built. So after a year of the subdivision being built, the town engineer goes out with the public works director, make sure the road is built to the standards, and then the owner of the subdivision then deeds that to the town. That has not been accepted by the town yet.
Okay. And
similar to road widening strips on a regular subdivision.
And since we do not deal with 824 requests all the time, could we have just a very brief reminder of what that is?
Yeah, sure. Pretty simple. This is a public road acceptance. So before pursuant to the statute 824, the town council, the administrative body, the legislative body, can't accept land on behalf of the town until the planning commission, so you're functioning in your planning role, get your planning hats on, makes a report, an advisory report to them in regards to the potential actions. So this has been reviewed by a town engineer. This has been reviewed by Public Works. Everything's in order. They had to make some minor corrections, I think, to some of the curbing was in disrepair, so they had to fix that. That's been inspected. So everything's in order to make an affirmative recommendation to the council, and then the council will accept it. I think there's an intermediary step, but there's a particular committee that I think needs to deal with this, what she said, before it gets to the council, the full council. So pretty much a pro forma.
Kind of. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Matt or Meredith?
If I may. This is a very odd, again, for the record, Harry Heller. This is a very odd situation, why it's only the two half moons at the end of the cul-de-sac. When Elwood Sharp developed Carroll Drive back in the 1950s, he conveyed the road to the town. Not all of it was developed, but it was owned by the town and then was later developed as part of this 2015 subdivision. That's why that center strip is not part of this application. The town already owns it. What they didn't own were the two half moons on the end of the cul-de-sac.
Thank you for the clarification, Attorney Heller. Commissioner Longton?
Yes, question for Matt. I'm not sure what zone this is. My question is, the people that own those two lots where the half moons are, that portion of land will be subtracted from their tax base, correct?
Correct. When they took title to those properties, I don't know who the particular owners are, but the subdivision map that had been clearly recorded in the 50s, apparently, or approved in the 50s, they took title subject to these, advances, I would think. So.
The crux of my question is that will reduce the acreage on each lot. Will that drop the acreage on each lot below whatever is required for that zone?
Well, no, and I think even if it did, and Attorney Heller's going to give us some free legal advice tonight. even if it did, I think they would still be lawful lots created through that subdivision.
Mm-hmm. When we deeded those lots, we deeded along the proposed street line, not the original street, but the cul-de-sac. So those two abutting owners never had ownership of those little semicircles. They're still owned by the developer. And the lots as originally configured and approved by you complied with zoning. So there is no, in some instances, that does happen, that where you have a temporary cul-de-sac rather than a permanent cul-de-sac, the town gets an easement over those semicircles, and then when they're developed, if the road is extended, then they're deeded back. That's not happening here. The developer never conveyed those out.
Thank you, Harry.
And our town attorney did review and approve the.
Any other questions?
We have one question.
Yes.
I pulled that address on, you call it Google Maps, to take a look at. That has been all paved and all fixed and everything else, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because what I got on the map, there's nothing paved.
Commissioner Pike? Okay.
Well, I don't trust
him. Yeah, it must have been done, and this must be a pitch from like 2 years ago.
All right. So there is a proposed motion for a favorable report. Would anyone like to make it and read it into the record?
I'll make it.
Commissioner Pike?
I make a motion to forward a favorable report in accordance with Connecticut General Statute 8-24 to the Town Council for the acceptance of parcels 023-063-009 and 023-063-010, together with the drainage easement required in order to accommodate drainage improvements constructed in conjunction with the subdivision as shown on a plan entitled Resubdivision map prepared for Bruce R. DeShano, Carroll Drive, and Sharp Hill Road, Montville, Connecticut, dated 7-1-2015, final Rev 12716, prepared by Killingley Engineering Associates, Civil Engineering and Surveying, 114 Westcott Road, Killingley, Connecticut, 06241, which was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission on January 12, 2016. Second.
Is that Commissioner Stowe?
Yep.
Okay. Any discussion? Let's take a roll call vote, please.
Okay. Jill Summers?
Favor.
Joshua Kobluck?
Favor.
John Poole?
Favor.
I'm in favor. That's John Destrard, Secretary. Wells Pike?
Favor.
John Estelle?
Favor.
Isaac Tate?
Favor.
And Chuck Lonkin?
Favor.
And you, Derek Chairperson?
In favor.
In favor. Everybody's in favor.
Okay. Motion passes. We will send a favorable report.
Yes.
Thank you. Next, moving on to item 9C, which is a discussion and decision regarding 24ZC3 Cricket's Corner, 879 Chesterfield Road, and 1665 Route 85, parcel ID 005-015-00C/012-007-000. The owner is Cricket's Corner LLC. The applicant is Roger L. Phillips and Rachel M. Bellardo for proposed zone change. And it was already read into the record, all of the pertinent dates. Okay, so we have heard the presentation. We had the public hearing. There is a proposed motion in the packet from staff. Would anyone like to make the motion and read it into the record? It's on page 8 of the packet, by the way. I'll also entertain any alternate motions if there are any.
I'll make it.
Okay, Commissioner Tate.
Do I need to read the findings as well?
Yes, please.
Okay.
The easterly zone boundary between the existing WRP 160.
Sorry, if you could start right under motions, the following motion.
Oh.
Or I make a motion.
Okay. I make the motion. The following motion is suggested for approval.
I told you the wrong place. I make a motion.
Make a motion to approve or disapprove.
Let's try this again. I make a motion to approve application 24ZC3 with the following modification, findings, and reasons for approval. Modification. The easterly zone boundary between the existing WRP 160 and the proposed C-2 shall be coincident with a line running generally north/south and 50 feet west of the limit of the regulated inland wetland or water course located in the easterly portion of 879 Chesterfield Road. Findings. 1. With the modification included herein and based on the Commission's assessment of the hearing record, the relevant factors, and staff's recommendations, the Commission finds the application to be generally consistent with the Montville POCD. 2. The zoning map amendment, as modified herein, will not conflict with or undermine the town's comprehensive plan or otherwise compromise orderly development objectives. 3. These findings are based in part of the representation by the applicant that access to serve future development of 879 Chesterfield will be located along the frontage of 1645 Route 85 and not from Chesterfield Road. Effective date, 12:01 a.m., July 15th, 2024.
Thank you, Commissioner Tate. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. So having a first and second from Commissioners Tate and Summers, is there any discussion? Hearing none, let's move into a roll call vote, please.
Okay. Joseph Summers?
Favor.
Joshua Kowalik?
Favor.
John Poole?
In favor.
John Sternford, favor. Will Spike?
Favor.
John Estelle?
In favor.
Isaac Tate?
In favor.
Chuck Longton?
Favor.
And Chairperson Sarah Lundy?
In favor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, motion passes. Next, we'll move on to item 10, zoning matters, and the zoning enforcement officer report.
Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer. This is my report from the period of May 29th, 2024 to June 25th, 2024. Total inquiries into the office were 193. Total zoning permits that were open at the beginning of the reporting period were 324. Total certificate of zoning compliance with field inspections were 19. There were 14 additional field inspections. 23 zoning permits were approved, giving us a total of currently open zoning permits of 328. There were 4 new zoning complaints. 11 complaints are ongoing.
There are two enforcement complaints that were closed. No wetlands complaints. There were three wetland complaints that are ongoing. One wetlands complaint was closed, and there was one inland wetlands application which was heard and tabled. No ZBA applications.
Okay. Thank you very much, Stacy. Any questions for Stacy?
I have a question. Why is 112 Black Ash Connex box continue to show up? I'm a little curious. It shows up.
We're extremely close to getting that finally finished.
Thank you.
Yes. I've been working diligently with him, and probably but 2 weeks away. I hope it'll be close at the next meeting. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Stacy? Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to the Land Use Director report.
Due to the lateness of the hour, I'll go through these pretty quick, as I usually do. The SIF grant application was made, so those applications are closed. Again, they'll make a decision in early fall. We're reasonably confident that we've got a competitive application. I think there was an article in the New London Day that noted that there were a number of communities in Norwich, New London, Groton. I don't think Groton did anything this round. But the point is that it's kind of a competitive situation, so we'll keep our fingers crossed with that. Zoning regulation and map amendments, I really don't have anything to offer for you. I'm still working on kind of identifying those that I think kind of make sense in some kind of a prioritized, phased way, I guess, if you will. To give you an example, one of the things that we're going to be doing is Megan is starting to work on, thank you, Megan, moving to a use table kind of a format instead of the kind of redundant thing that we do, like zone by zone, we list all the uses. Most regs now have a table, a use table. They'll have a bulk table for the side yards and the setbacks and stuff like that. So we're just trying to consolidate and make things a little bit more kind of user-friendly. There's some other things that we'll bring forward, but that's just somewhat of an idea. The GIS working group, haven't really gotten any traction on that. We are experiencing some challenges, I'll say, with the GIS outsourcing contractor, a group by the name of CAI. They're actually quite a bit more expensive than I think anybody anticipated. We had a simple map amendment that we needed to do for the cannabis overlay zones. Very simple GIS task, and I think the estimate that we had was $1,000, and I think we're into at least three iterations of mock-ups, moving into four soon, I guess. So we'll be talking to the IT director about that level of service, and I think our expectations are quite a bit different than what we're getting. So I'll keep you posted on that. Fish and Piers moving ahead. They had a diver out there. He was required by DEP to go out and do some survey of the underwater vegetation, see if there was any impacts. I think they did that last week. They finally had some conditions. I haven't heard back. That was the last thing in line before they go ahead with DEP permitting. So we'll be talking to the town's engineer and wrapping that thing up, moving forward with permitting, and hopefully getting some bids out, getting that moving forward. Animal control facility, the architect has been tasked with reviewing the bid specifications and the plan that we developed, town developed prior to me coming on board, just to kind of QC those numbers, if there's any kind of value engineering that they need to do. We obviously know now that we've got 2.6 to work with. I believe the idea is that they're going to hire a clerk of the works probably for the project to maybe help manage and expedite things at some point. That's obviously going to cost some money. You want to have some contingency, so you got to back off of that 2.6 a little bit. And so that's the process that's ongoing right now. I think we should have some information by the time we have the next council meeting and the mail report on that. Community connectivity grant. I've got to meet with the town engineer to try to resurrect that, so to speak. They got to rescope it. You know, that is what it is. But we still are committed to the project. We're still committed to the money. DOT has been in contact with us, so hopefully that'll go forward. Housing update, really nothing to report. We continue to have preliminary conversations with a number of different outfits, developers. A lot of interest in the Route 32 corridor. We'll share information as we can and when we can on that. But there is definitely a lot of interest in parcels on Route 32 in particular. Mohegan Dam removal, haven't heard anything. I assume that's pretty pro forma, more just kind of technical work to do. Norwich Golf Course Dam removal, that's the one up on the Cove there, Trading Cove. And we submitted a letter of endorsement to the DEP and to others for that removal. That'll probably have some, hopefully some material impact on the flooding that's up there on the London Turnpike. We'll see. It depends on, you know, calculations and things like that. But that's not a project that's, you know, in Montville. The abutting property on the south of the dam is owned by the Mohegans, where the fish ladder sign is. It's kind of buried in the underbrush at this point because the fish ladders went away a couple of times, I guess. Oxyboxo Lofts, we've made the first payment to the Brownfields grant. They have an expected date, I think, of October for their opening. There was a tour. I don't know if anybody went on the tour. I think we sent the invite out. I think that was June 21, I think. I didn't obviously have the opportunity to go. I didn't get in touch with the COG to see how well attended that was, but that was one of the stops on the tour was that they were trying to showcase that, which I think is good for the town, good for the project, certainly.
It was a difficult hour.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
It was right in the middle of the workday.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of like, you know, if you're retired and you got nothing to do, then you can take the bus trip, but for working folks, it didn't jive for us. So, the municipal permit system, we continue to work on some tweaks to that, particularly with the building department, to try to work out some kinks as far as how some of the paperwork is processed, the workflow for that. And I think we're having some success, thanks to Stacy, and the mayor has been very supportive for that too. Well, in fact, just kind of a sidebar, we're going to be having weekly or biweekly coordination meetings with the building department starting tomorrow. So that'll be good. So we'll kind of enhance the coordination and communication there. Development team, haven't really implemented that yet. Got to get moving on that. That's really for pre-application consultations. We do those now in our office. It's kind of an ad hoc process. People will go here and there. They'll go to the town and they'll go to Public Works. They'll go to WPCA staff, but it's kind of a hit or miss thing. So I think this is an attempt to kind of consolidate that a little bit and make more sense out of that. And the Urban Land Institute, ULI, go to their website, check it out. We did a membership. It's a phenomenal group. It's a real estate development policy group. It's a nonprofit. They're international. And they have an extraordinary reputation, and they have a lot of resources. So we just signed up for that, and I've gotten online. And to the extent that I can find helpful information for regulation amendments or other kinds of things like that, I'll try to share those with you as I can. So that's the whole shebang for now.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any questions for Matt?
Fishing dock, the town dock, is going to be what?
There's a fishing dock?
There's a, I'm sorry, I'm the
kidding.
Dock
I'm
part of the fishing pier. I think of them together, but...
Yeah, there's...
There really is a dock.
There is, yes.
People want to use
right.
it this summer.
That's not going to happen.
You can hold their breath.
No, that's not going to happen. I think...
The old one has been installed.
But the new, you know, still I think has to go through permitting at DEP, so it'll be some time before any of that work.
Yeah.
Moving as fast as we can.
Any other questions? Okay, we do not have any other business this evening, nor do we have correspondence. We've already had our executive session. Would anyone like to make a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Jeez. Everybody chill. Wow.
Hey, hey. That fisher dock will be dead after, built after a giant.
I'm afraid of that. That's